Hi guys, welcome back to Skincare Anarchy. This is your host, Ekta, and I am really excited about our guest today. I am absolutely in love with this brand, and the science is just, it's going to blow your mind, and I really, really can't wait to dive in. So without further ado, I want to introduce you guys to the founder and CEO and the co-founder and chief scientific officer of AP Chem Skincare. Welcome, Sandra and Dr. Parekh, to the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm really excited to host you guys because I really love the brand and I fall in love with your moisturizer. I'm not going to lie. It's literally game changing. And so, you know, I can't wait to learn about the formulas and stuff and the science. But if you could get us started, maybe Sandra, telling us a little bit about your backgrounds, you know, and what led you to creating a skincare line.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I'm a beauty industry veteran. I've worked at Clinique. Actually, that's how Sharon and I met.
Right.
I was working on a skincare team at Clinique for several years, and I had hyperpigmentation after several rounds of IVF, and the product development team there told me about Dr. Parekh and said, you've got to go see him. And we just hit it off instantly. And since then, you know, throughout my career in the beauty industry, I worked on color cosmetics, hair care, body care. So I've been at Sol de Janeiro, I've been at La Mer, Guerlain, et cetera. So I've just been in the industry for a really long time, but my passion's always been skincare. Obviously, Sharon's too.
Yep.
Yeah. So what about you, Dr. Parekh? I know you have quite an impressive medical background. I'd love to learn a little bit more about you.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I became a dermatologist after finishing medical school at Columbia in the late 90s. And I do now at this point at our office, Tribeca Skin Center, there are four of us dermatologists. We do general dermatology, skin cancer screenings, rashes, cosmetic dermatology, skincare improvement. Yeah. And so it's a nice mix of people that we see from all around Manhattan and Brooklyn. And the idea of starting a skincare line has come up off and on, but not until meeting Sandra did it feel like it felt right. Someone who actually knew the industry from the inside and understood what was happening, what was needed, and filling a space. And so that's why we started working on it a couple of years ago and launched recently AP Chem. Yeah, we thought of AP Chem as being cute because we both have kind of nerdy children of immigrants, you know, science background.
I definitely immediately resonated with the
I feel like I got a 4, but maybe it was a 5. Can I change that?
Yeah. Well, you are way smarter than me because I dreaded AP Chem. So yeah. It was hard for me.
Yeah, I asked for it. You're right. And so we thought that would be a really fun sort of throwback to our high school years and then to kind of like do all the homework that other kids didn't do. And now we have it ready for people, all the science behind the skincare. Yeah.
You know, I love it. I love it. That's so cool. And I love that you guys partnered up because this is brilliant. Like, I don't even want to call it marketing. It just is really cool. You know what I mean? Like,
smarter. I mean, if you need an MBA and an MD, I know it sounds a little bit scary to be so whatever, but like a couple of advanced degrees kind of help in this industry, it feels.
Yeah.
It's, and not only that, but just also like a meeting of the minds, right? Like people who come from two different sides of the coin and can come together and make something that
And other than just being the cool nerd that we are, or as Sherman likes to say, Sandra, we were nerds in high school. Now we're cool nerds.
Yeah.
But we, you know, other than being cool nerds, we just share a lot of common philosophies about skin health and mental and physical health and how that affects your skin health. And we started talking about starting AP Chem together. We first said, you know, initially, if we make this brand together, can we make something that we can use? And it just sort of the light bulb went off that, you know, especially with my background, having worked at the likes of La Mer, which is an amazing brand, I just thought for, you know, Gen Xers like us, there are certainly skincare brands for them, but I'm hard pressed to find ones that don't cost a fortune. And also ones that really specifically focus on the community of Gen Xers and Zennials, not trying to be a catch-all brand. So formulate for our community, our Gen Xers and Zennials.
It's just vibes. Like, I feel like the brand, the name, the way it works, like my experience, if I could share as a consumer of the products, was it was very, very cool for all the nerds to, like, you know what I mean? To connect. I was a nerd. I'm just a nerd. You guys are cool nerds. I'm just a nerd. So for me, obviously, you know, the name really drew me in, but then the formula, it's like, literally, like, you know, when you're working on something and, you know, even in high school, like, I know a lot of people can relate, all those projects and stuff, when you worked on something really hard, like a science fair or something, and it just really performed, you know, that's the vibe I got from the marketing side. And I was like, I'm done with this. Yeah.
Okay. I love that. Well, you know, obviously the formulas had to work, and we can talk about our unique ingredients and our formulation philosophy.
Yeah.
But we like to say skincare should be a trip, not a chore. We wanted our products to not just be super efficacious, but really fun to look at. And the textures, you know, we put a lot of work into the textures. So the moisturizer, we wanted it to be deeply nourishing, but not too heavy. So it works for virtually all skin types. And the eye treatment, we wanted it to be, you know, as well, we wanted it to be very nourishing, but we didn't want it to slide around if you're wearing concealer over it. We didn't want it to travel into people's eyes if you wear contacts or, you know, so we really focused on all aspects of it. So it really is an experiential brand and it's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I was talking about the science because that's really, you named one of, you know, some of the really key features I love as a consumer as well. You know, it's just, it's really, really obvious that you've done your homework from the science side. And that's where I would love to learn about the ingredients and your approach to the ingredients. If, you know, if you could start it, you know, tell us a little bit about that. Like, how did you really approach the formulation aspect?
Sure. We refer to some of our hero ingredients as alt pharma ingredients. Yeah. Actually, let me take a step back. When Sherwin and I were working on our formulas, we obviously wanted them to be super efficacious, in particular for the skincare concerns for the average Gen X and Zennial customer. Age decelerating concerns from lifting and firming to smoothing the appearance of lines and wrinkles, et cetera. But aside from just being super efficacious, as nerds, as cool nerds, we're always experimenting, right? We always want to discover and learn about the latest innovations. So we approach our formulas by combining the classics, as Sherwin calls the workhorses.
Hyaluronic acid, the things people know about.
We combine the classics with unique ingredients that we refer to as alt pharma ingredients.
Like polyglutamic acid, right? So you probably know about things like that, which is not sort of top of mind for virtually all skincare companies. But the idea is that polyglutamic acid has even a synergistic effect with hyaluronic and to bind moisture and retain more moisture, which is why when you put on the microdose moisturizer, you're like, oh, this feels terrific. And then even 8 hours later, you're like, oh, the morning, it still feels great. And that has to do with that combination of HA and PGA, right?
Those
combos are synergistic and terrific, right?
Right.
Also why it's like a good primer too, right, Sandra?
Oh, you were sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, and that's where I'm curious, because I know you guys use stuff like neuropeptides and, you know, and adaptogens and, you know, for example, like, give us some examples like of these ingredients, because I feel like there's not enough education. Like, honestly, like, you know, Sherwin, you know, like they're in the skincare industry, there's very little like real knowledge about how these ingredients work together, you know? So like, if you could dive in to some of these hero ones, I'd love that.
So what you just mentioned, right, like sort of peptides, neuropeptides, and adaptogens.
Like nootropics.
And nootropics as well. Yes.
Yeah.
These are the things that this science-forward approach, I think, is going to be coming up more and more, but it hasn't been embraced fully. So we're starting to understand that from everything from skincare to body care to our supplements, but specifically things like GABA, right? Gamma-aminobutyric acid. Neuropsychiatrist who I know, she said to me, oh my God, I see that in your ingredient list. We give that as an oral medication to relax people's nerves. It's not a high level prescription. It doesn't, you know, cause any trouble or any side effects. She goes, you've put that in topically. And I said, yeah. And we have the white papers that show that topical application of GABA aminobutyric acid can relax the fine lines and relax the small motor neurons of the face. I mean, albeit temporarily, nothing as aggressive or as efficacious as Botox, for example. But in that vein, in that vibe, you're like, oh, why does my skin look like it's actually a little bit smoother? It's not just the HA and the PGA. It's also the gamma aminobutyric acid, the GABA, right?
GABA.
And adding an element like that in is specific, and it has to be monitored by our pharmaceutical, like our laboratory telling us this percentage is working well, this percentage is working better, this percentage is too strong, et cetera.
Right.
So we do that work.
And the reason why we take this approach, it's not, again, it's not using these unique ingredients for the sake of doing it. As we were developing the brand and working on the formulas, we did want to use unique ingredients, but not for the sake of doing so. We call them all pharma ingredients because as we were developing the brand, I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. And long story short, I think like most people that find themselves in that position where they certainly know a friend or a family member that's in that situation, you're willing to try anything from classic treatment to what we call alt pharma treatment. So GABA is a perfect example of alt pharma. You can take it as a supplement,
which promotes
relaxation, the same way that on the skin, it relaxes those tense facial muscles, which is why it's known as nature's Botox. It's our alt pharma version to Botox in our pharma.
Right. No, that makes so much sense scientifically. It's brilliant because, you know, and Sharon, I think you can relate to this, is that in medicine, in academia, we call this repurposing of drugs. In a lot of cancer treatments. You know what I mean? Like that's what this reminds me of, is like right now there's so much research. I'll give everyone listening an example. And like glioblastoma, which is the most aggressive brain tumor.
Yep.
We're talking about things like niacin again. You know what I mean? And that's actually niacin, statins, that kind of stuff. So when I think of what you guys are doing, I'm looking at, you know, you're really reapplying these known ingredients in a more intelligent way, in my opinion. You know, like people don't realize like GABA is, these are receptors. They are, you
they're
know,
receptors.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it has receptors. It has, yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then we have all these magnesium supplements now, you know what I mean? And they're essentially acting on GABA receptors. So this is what that reminds me of. It's brilliant. I love it. You know,
the adaptogens, like the mushrooms, people have really become smarter about. They understand it, right? People are figuring out that there are calming effects, there are energizing effects, there are brightening effects, right? So both consumption of functional mushrooms, again, this is all going to be developed in the next decade or so more aggressively by people who are interested in not just allopathic, but homeopathic and osteopathic medicine. They're going to be investigating things more because people want these alternatives. But it is clear that in skincare, you can derive benefit from applying them topically.
Right.
Yeah.
Reishi, shaga, right?
So our moisturizer has 8 adaptogenic mushrooms in them, 8 adaptogenic mushroom extracts. And Sharon and I were just, before we jumped on this podcast with you, we were talking about our Rise mushroom coffee. And we were saying that we're like the Rise coffee for skincare. It's a shroom boom going on. There are so many people that are taking care of what they put in their body. Why don't equally care about
Correct.
What you put on your face?
Yeah.
So these ingredients, these alt pharma ingredients we're using, they're super safe. They just have these really amazing benefits that we're really proud to say that we're harnessing, that you really don't often see other skincare brands using.
I love it. I love it. And I think, you know, I wanted to ask you guys this about, you know, being, you know, an Indian American, I feel like Ayurveda is one of those things that's talked about like
got
in
it.
The wrong way. You know what I mean? Like the
you
Ayurveda.
You got it. I thought that. I thought we were going to go there. I love it. Yeah.
Because that's what it is, right? I mean, it's like Ayurveda never gets talked about in the right way, but you guys are it's like scientific, like, you know, Western science level of Ayurveda kind of, you know.
Listen,
that
there is turmeric extract in the dopamine serum, but like at the end of the day, people don't, there's so much information for people to consume that they get confused. And I'm like, we've done our homework for you. We're the AP Chem nerds. We can give you skincare that you will enjoy and you don't have to worry. Now, we can definitely talk about Ayurveda, but we've done, I'm sure you growing up and myself as well, yeah. It was just sort of like always in the background. And so we always kind of knew it. And now everyone is either catching on or wholly confused. Can you actually consume turmeric consistently? Is it going to be absorbed correctly? Does it help? For how long? Ashwagandha, actually you shouldn't take it for long periods of time because of the actual other effects of taking ashwagandha for too long, but for a short period you can. There is science behind these things, and like Western medicine in quotes, will be catching up. But again, it's going to take a decade.
Yeah, absolutely.
We just want to position the brand as Ayurvedic because it's so much more than that. I think because of our backgrounds, that's just a natural approach to, it's just how we treat ourselves both mentally and physically. It's more holistic.
Yeah.
We want to take away from the real edgy, the cutting edge science behind the formulas and position it as something that I think a lot of customers might perceive as, I don't know, all natural or...
Right.
It just not the
cool fun. No, I get that though. I get that because you know what? Let me just say this honestly. I want everyone like listening who's a consumer to think about it, because the thing is Ayurveda, I don't like the way that we're conventionally marketing it. You know why? Because there's real hidden gems and leads in Ayurveda for modern medicine to follow. And what sucks is we think of it as like, you know, like clay from the ground and non-processed ingredients, non-sophisticated ingredients, when in reality, the real value of Ayurveda is in the knowledge of it. You know what I mean?
Like,
you know? And that's why I'm so glad you didn't do that, because your brand is what I wish more Ayurvedic kind of brands would like kind of understand, you know what I mean? Like do that, because you're taking away from the true potentials, because people perceive things a certain way, and it's just right now is not a good time the way Ayurveda is being perceived.
You
so I'm glad that you did it. Yeah. So, you know, I want to ask though, I do have a question, and this is more for like, you know, obviously you guys you're creating a product that is good for all skin types. And this is something I'm curious, when you were in the formulation process and the manufacturing process, was it hard for you to like explain things like this is how much of something we want, or this is the effect we're going for? Like, how was the formulation process for you, you know, that approach?
We knew that we wanted to focus on Gen X and Xennial customers. So let's say customers, men and women, ages 35 to 55 plus.
Yeah.
So what we did was we started out by evaluating the types of concerns we wanted to make sure our formulas were addressing with high levels of efficacy. And there were certainly some ingredients that Sherwin, with his expertise, we wanted to include. And we would work very closely with the cosmetic chemists at our lab to say, we do want some of these specific ingredients, but it's a real partnership too, because some of the ingredients we might have wanted to use, they would say, you can, but it might not be compatible with another ingredient you're talking about. And we have a different idea for you to achieve the same types of benefits that you're looking for. But I think we have really a lot of fun with GABA, because our lab had not worked with it before. And it's really not that easy to source, because most brands don't use it. I'm hard pressed to think of one that does. And we had such a field day with it. I should say, actually, our cosmetic chemist at the lab had such a blast using it, because I think Sherwin had mentioned earlier, you do have to, and you mentioned it too, Ekta, is that you have to make sure that you're using the right concentrations of these.
Yeah.
You can use too little, and then you're putting something in and it's not doing anything. You can put in too much. So we found the right balance, but as we were working on the various lab samples until we really nailed the level that we wanted in the three different formulas that we have, we had the cosmetic chemist went at a much higher level than we put in our current, in our formulas. And they were like, I think my face is frozen. They were having such a blast, because it really was acting like Botox, and they could not believe how smooth and firm and tight their skin was. But they're like, it might be a little too much. So
yeah, to your point, some of this stuff is like experiments in high school, where like there is a bit of trial and error. And I think
in the lab, in the chemistry lab,
and you blow things up. But I think like even because we would say like we know that like hexapeptides are super important. Will they mix well with this? the serum has to be airless. The eye has to be airless. They have airless pumps, right? They cannot contact. So little things came up as challenges, and yeah. Sandra and I met them, you know, along the way, saying, okay, if that's the need, because this will expose to air and it'll do this, or, you know, we understood those things, and it was a bit of a process, but
yeah. Yeah. No, I can imagine though, because then that's really why I asked her. And because, with a medical or science background, I think it's hard to not be like, wait a minute, how much of this are we using? You know what I mean? So like the dosing comes naturally. And that's why yeah. I asked, because you guys aren't having these ridiculous claims of like 20% vitamin C. Why do you need 20% vitamin C?
Right. Oh yeah. Extra niacinamide can be irritating. Look, even the serum, yeah. even the single use serums that you are out there that are so pervasive in the sort of younger millennial culture of like, I'm going to use one of this serum and one of that serum and one of this serum, and I'm going to layer six or seven on top. You're like, well, but are they all really doing the job that you want? How are they mixed together?
Yeah.
How much is too much?
Right. We were very conscientious about the levels of the key actives that we put in our formulas. We didn't want to put the highest level just for the sake of doing it. Like, so for example, with GABA, you could certainly put more in than we did, but we did, it could cause irritation, which leads me to another core component of how we approach our formulations, which is homeostasis, balance for both, you know, again, not to bastardize the Ayurvedic approach.
I know what you're trying to say, and I know that this industry is.
Inflammation, right? That inflammation and aging, that's where it too much inflammation is not good for your body.
We want to make sure that we're putting in the highest concentration of our key actives without upsetting your skin. So that's why we also focus on inflammation. We have a key alt pharma anti-inflammatory ingredient in all of our formulas called Bicalin.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I feel like that's the interesting part, is that this, you know, your anti-inflammation like approach, I think it's part of what I see what you guys are trying to do, which is create something that if you have had any background in science or taken any kind of science course, like the first thing you're taught is like, one, you need to know why you're using what you're using, and does theory come into translatable sense? You know what I mean? Can theory be translated? And that's where I see you guys as like a very 360 brand, because like I really, like, first of all, your products work. Let me just start there. You know, as a consumer, my feedback is your products work, and they work really well. And I don't think anybody, like teenagers, anybody would have a problem using these products because of the way you formulated it. The anti-inflammation conversation is huge right now. Like, you know what I mean? It's big right now. But when we think about anti-inflammation, I think people get so hyper-focused on one thing and that becomes the center. But really, anti-inflammation is using the right concentrations of the right stuff, you know what I mean? And like making sure it all makes sense together. And so that's why I'm like, I love it. It's a beautiful idea. You know,
it works.
We started out focusing on inflammation because one of the first things Sherwin said to me when I was his patient was inflammation is the core component of virtually every skin condition, if not most health conditions. Yeah. So the reason why that kicked off a conversation about not just the concentrations of the actives that we use, but some of the unique ingredients we use, from the nootropics to the neuropeptides, because we were also talking about, or what Sherwin was teaching me when we first met, was it's not just about sun exposure. Certainly, yes, the hormone therapy you were doing with IVF is triggering your dark spots, but what else is going on? We know that how the state of our mental health can impact our physical health.
Yes.
So that also led us to start looking into nootropics, neuropeptides, and adaptogens too. We're creating this mind-body connection by using ingredients that you would typically find in supplements for your mental or your physical health, but have these clinically proven applications for your skin health.
Yeah. Absolutely. That makes complete sense. And you know what's crazy, and we don't talk about it at all, is the idea that these tissues, like Sherwin, as you know, like a lot of people know, like, you know, embryology, when you think about it, your skin and your brain come from the same source.
Correct. The neuroectoderm. So, you got it.
So like, wait, this stuff.
You're just kidding.
No, but like it makes sense. It makes sense though, because it's like the things you want your brain to do, which is, one, if you're anxious, you want to calm down, right? If your skin is acting, flaring up, you want it to calm down, right? So that that kind of parallel, it makes sense, you know? And so I think, like, with the science forward approach, this is why I loved, you know, Sandra, what you had, you know, brought up about the Ayurveda stuff. I loved it because I think sometimes when we get caught up in things like clean beauty, fresh beauty, whatever, you know, Ayurveda, these words, these marketing words, we forget that, like, there's, like, hard science here that needs to be addressed. You know what I mean? And that underlines everything.
For sure.
You know? So, yeah, it's a really cool concept. So, one thing I want to ask is, right now there's a big buzz around, like, you know, younger skin types using skincare products more readily, right? I'm a millennial. Yeah. I know when I was 15, I didn't use anything. You know what I mean? Like, I was like... Yeah, I was scared.
I had my Sea Breeze.
Yeah. I think
my Oxy wipes.
Yeah, I mean, there were like a few things, but like I wasn't into it like they are. And, you know, so my question really is, from a brand perspective, like, and maybe Sandra, you can address this, is like, what has been something that you've encountered about the you know, the what is it? Zennials?
Zennials. Sort of generation that's a little bit older than millennials and a little bit younger than Gen X. But if you're talking about younger consumers, are you asking about younger customers?
Like 12 and 13 years going to Sephora now and like trying to buy Drunk Elephant and spending tons of
money coming to you and getting Botox and filler. There's a lot of that.
I think, yeah. What do you think about like 12, like the young teenagers and branding for skincare?
I'm all for people wanting to take care of their skin. I maybe there is an outlet or a resource for, I'm calling them kids because
they are kids.
You should be taking care of your skin, but you don't. There's so much that you don't need. You can certainly, like Eka, you had said, you can certainly use our formulas if you're younger. We focus on Gen X because we feel like it's a white space. They're not really, that our audience doesn't really get catered to often, and they get overlooked. But we, if I have like a 16-year-old niece or nephew, I wouldn't tell them that to use our products, not because they're not perfectly safe, but there's stuff in it that they don't need.
That's it. Exactly right. I think a lot of these current kids that you read about in the Times and other newspaper outlets and like, you know, social media, is that they're being told that they need to do these things. They need to spend money and time on skincare. And at 12 and 13 and 14 years old, I'm like, just go to school.
Yeah. Just like this.
Do your chores. And drink water. And eat, like, good food. And, like, listen to your parents if they're nice people. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It feels like they shouldn't be indulging in skincare. It feels, because, like, to your point, we didn't do it when we were that age. And it was nothing bad happened to us. We didn't go into tanning booths, hopefully. Maybe I did once. Weird as it sounds. We didn't know enough about sunscreen, but the great thing about the current 12 and 13 and 14 year olds is they do understand that they should be wearing sunscreen. And that knowledge wasn't around 15, 20, 25 years ago as much, right? So parents are good about that. And that's about it. Like, wear your sunscreen and wash the dirt off your face if you go like play sport.
From a brand marketer perspective, there are certainly brands and retailers that are intentionally targeting younger customers. More and more. I think the point is just keep it simple. Unless you have a very challenging concern, like acne, that's really chronic and very difficult to address. I think you as a derm see younger people come in and just, I certainly have people asking me all the time that are young. And I think the idea is to don't overuse anything. Don't use anything you don't need. Try and keep it as simple as possible. You really just need wash your face. Simple, non-irritating moisturizer and wear your SPF.
And for some 14-year-olds, we have to tell them, like, this is the opposite of the ones who actually need oral medication and need something a little more hardcore, the genetic history in their family and their parents took medications when they were kids and all that kind of stuff. For a lot of kids, we have to tell them, just don't keep looking in the mirror so much. Like, this is not that important. It shouldn't be. Right?
Exactly. And you know what? I want to clarify. That's why I asked you guys, because you know, you have created a brand that just reminds me of, like, you know, breaking out with acne and, you know, like looking for someone who really knew their chemistry to help me, you know, or their medicine. Yeah. But it's like, we relate to that because we've had a journey, you know what I mean? In our adulthood. But it's like, for these kids, I'm just like, if you don't have acne or something, you know, or some, and you know, go to a derm, first of all, you know, but that's why I'd ask. It's just your opinions about it, because I'm just seeing it everywhere. You know what I mean? And it's just, it's so different than when we were growing up, where there were no options, to now it's like, you know, they have options, but they don't know how to approach things. So it's just like, that was my thing.
And they're being spoken. And the thing is that they're being spoken to by the generation just above them. Right. So they're listening, as we all did when we were 12, we listened to the 18-year-old, when we were 16, the 22-year-old. And those 20 and 22-year-olds currently are super heavy into developing a skincare routine and publicizing it on their TikToks and their Instagram. And you're like, oh, so that's what you're getting caught up in.
Yes.
And you don't really need to. You can give it 5 or 10 years and decide if that's what you really are.
Yeah, I agree. Take your time with it. But, you know, that, and that's what I mean. Like, Sandra, like, I think you brought up a really great point about, you know, just it's, you know, the overall, like when we were first discussing it, you really brought up a good point about the marketing side of all of it, because at the end of the day, I think brands are, some brands, you know, I don't know what they are. I'm not naming any names, but people are kind of like, you know, they're not making it clear. You know what I mean? Like that. They're not talking about it enough, if that makes sense. But anyways, to shift focus, I want to focus a little bit more on your actual formulas and stuff. And so, you know, for somebody like your ideal customer, like who is that? Like, you know, who do you really target in terms of your demographic and audience? Like, is it acne prone skin, or is it, you know, just anything, like all skin concerns?
It's for all, I should say it's for both men and women.
Yeah.
However you identify. And we really wanted to, because we were really only launching with 3 products, we didn't want to, we wanted to be as inclusive as possible across types as well as tones. So I would say from a texture standpoint, with the active standpoint, unless you have very oily skin or very, very dry skin, you can use our formulas.
Right.
Age-wise, we do focus on, you say Gen X, because that's who we are. We did want to be able to use our own products. And because we did really feel as if there was this white space where you can certainly buy some of the $300 moisturizers that I won't name. They're great.
Yeah.
You don't have to. So we do focus on who we feel, maybe it's a little dramatic to say overlooked, but I think if you're in your 30s and your 40s, and you're looking to address common skincare concerns or common
roughness,
skin concerns like
dullness,
wrinkles, lifting.
That's why I'm asking, though, because there's a really great, for anyone listening, if you're, you know, if you go to AP Chem Beauty, you guys have an amazing slide, like right on the front page, and it's your research results. And I love that. I love the transparency with that, based on a 4-week study. And that's why I asked, because it's like people saw, you know, skin softness, suppleness, a glowier, you know, like skin tone, like healthier skin. That's why I asked you that, because, you know, I feel like, you know, people get so caught up in we're either an acne brand or we're a wrinkle, you know, anti-aging brand. You guys are really like, it's unique, I think, because it's targeting like really anybody, you know, if you're looking for just better skin, you know, it's a really great brand. Yeah.
It's that moment at which you're like, wait a minute, I've lost something that I remember I had in my
20s.
Yeah. Like, okay.
Yeah.
It'll come back.
Time to up my game.
Just AP Chem. Like if you just have that moment, you're like, what happened to me? That's where we're at right now. Time to up your game.
Time to take an AP level of skincare.
Exactly. A little advanced placement.
We didn't want catch-all formulas for everybody, because we did want to use it ourselves. And, you know, let's face it, Sharon and I do have, you know, we have a few wrinkles here and there. I definitely can see, you know, the definition along my jawline isn't what it used to be. Luckily, I'm not on social media like I was, or like, you know, a lot of kids are. I'm having to see what I used to look like.
Oh, God. I'm the same way. Don't worry, Sandra. I'm the same way. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, yeah,
absolutely. You could have, you know, we have customers that are in their late 20s, early 30s. And I see it as them, you know, not just doing their homework, they're doing a little extra credit because they're getting ahead of the game and they're maintaining the beautiful, supple skin that I so envy. Yeah. But then we've got customers in their, you know, like late 30s, early 40s, into their 50s who are really so happy after just a couple really of happy. Weeks.
Yeah, they're like, okay, that's what I need.
Sherwin has, so he sells AP Chem at his practice and he's got a lot of patients coming back, obviously to see him and his other
or just to buy
practice
though.
And,
yeah,
and to buy the product, but they've been using the, you know, then maybe the next time they see you four or six months later, they're talking about how they really see this difference.
Yep.
Right. Right. No, that's like, it makes sense though, because like we talked about the ingredients earlier and it just makes sense. And I think, you know, what's unique is too, like lately I've been advocating a lot for like baseline skincare routines. And I feel like a lot of people don't have that, you know, like I feel like we don't have that three-step routine. Most of us that we are like, this is what I use.
Yep.
Okay. And this maintains my skin. And then if I want an active that's extra or whatever, I add it in once in a while. You know what I mean? That's the thing that I feel like is missing in this space, you know, in the industry, is like a real baseline routine. And I feel like you guys really speak to that because, you know, it's important to take care of your skin overall. And, you know, I'm sure you guys know much more about this than me, but it's like the baseline maintenance, you know, like just any other organ in your body, like your liver. You're not going to drink alcohol every day because you're going to kill your liver. You know what I mean?
Exactly right.
Yeah, you need a detox.
And it'll show up in your skin too.
Well, and we also didn't want to make it complicated either. We didn't want to have a 20-step routine. I think you really, I've been in a position where I must have had like 15 steps in my skincare routine, but that's also because I was working for multiple brands across my career, you know, from LVMH to Water, and I had access for free to all these products. But not for nothing, I have to remind myself that not everybody lives in New York City. Not everybody gets Botox. I've got plenty of friends that can afford it, but they want to keep it simple. They do want the benefits. And so that's another great thing about our products. We would never say that it replaces Botox. I mean, having GABA as, you know, nature's Botox, it's certainly more efficacious than I think the average ingredients you see
drugstore,
in some age decelerating. Right,
exactly.
Right. Yeah. But I think it becomes really great for people that are looking to, you know, up their skincare game, but they're not looking to go get peels. They're not ready for Botox, or they just don't want to do it.
Right, and they're not doing 10
and there's
steps.
No shame in the game. You know? Wink, wink. I've had some Botox before.
But I do think look, I mean, adding an eye cream becomes essential when people start to talk about, oh, I have these fine lines, I have these dark circles. Right, there is a reason why the ayahuasca eye serum has the ingredients that it does, including, one would consider, Ayurvedic elements like daisy and hawkweed extract to reduce dark circles, because that's, you don't start noticing that until a certain point in your life. And then you think there's nothing I can do. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
You take a pump of the eye balm and you apply half on under each eyelid and even the upper lid. It's safe, right? Like all this stuff has been tested and has been shown to be safe. And get into it. It takes an extra 2 seconds, but it should be done because you don't want to complain when you're 40 or 45. That you didn't
exactly.
In your 30s, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what's interesting? You say that, you know, Sharon, because I was talking to a derm also, like, you know, the other day about aesthetics, right? And like one of the things that came up was we need to start taking, it doesn't matter what you get done. Skincare has to be there, you know, in your routine. You have to have this like preventative approach in your mind about your skin health. And it's like, you know, that's where I feel like, you know, the understanding needs to get to where it's like, you know, you're not just doing it because it's, yeah, it's fun. It is, you know, and I love, like, for example, with you guys, like, I love your branding and the vibe and all that, but it's like also just like good for your skin. And like, you have to do things that are good for your skin, you know, and you can get the Botox and you can get the injectables, but those are probably going to perform a lot better if you're taking care of your skin as well.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Ekta,
exactly.
Have you tried the ayahuasca eye treatment?
I don't think so. I haven't yet. No.
Oh, you must. Sherwin and I have our favorites. I think ayahuasca is my favorite. And I brought it up because one of the ingredients we have in it is palmitoyl isoleucine.
So, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So Sherman and I were talking about dark circles. I think, you know, depending on your, you know, there are a lot of different skin
tones.
Yeah,
we're darker tones, have darker toned eyes.
And it's not just about the thinning skin. Where you see, I'm probably not saying this right, but so let's
the heme, the blood vessels, you got it.
Right. So, you know, I think a lot of people look for eye treatments or eye creams that have brightening ingredients in them. But what I've what Sherman taught me is about how palmitoyl isoleucine works when it comes to heme. You've got to describe it because I never do it justice.
So,
please. You're
right. Palmitoyl isoleucine also acts as a slight bit of a filler, right? It can start to improve the collagen synthesis under the skin. And people think, oh, if I get filler done, then the skin will lift up under the eye and then I won't see the dark circles, which is true because sometimes the dark circles are from the heme and the blood underneath the skin. So it's showing up as a blue or a blue brown or a blue black under the eyes. So but filler is not ideal for many people's faces. It doesn't look right injecting filler. So we say try to use products that create a little bit of a lifting. And palmitoyl isoleucine, one of the ingredients in ayahuasca or eye serum, is acting to do that slowly over time. And then combine that with the daisy and the hawkweed,
right,
which will break up the heme.
That is what
and
I
reduce
think is so
the discolorations.
That's brilliant. That is freaking brilliant. I love that.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people really do just think about the thinner their skin gets. As you're saying, Sharon, as thinner the skin gets under your eye, the more visible the dark circles are going to be.
Correct.
A lot of the time because of the heme. So using an ingredient like daisy and hawkweed extract that actually breaks up the heme.
Yeah.
So Sharon explained it to me, and the best way I can explain it to other people, it's almost like having spider veins under the eyes. And then you get, you're getting away. Or like, blood stains under the eyes. So the fact that we're not just using palmitoyl isoleucine, which is like nature's filler to fill out skin a little bit, we're actually breaking up the heme. That is a lot of times what people are seeing when they're in the mirror, when they see dark circles.
Yep.
And that's what I think is really cool about that formula, and the texture is the bomb.
Brilliant. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, but if you don't have it, we've got to make sure we get you one.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely brilliant because it's like, you know, most people don't think about that. That's why you have dark circles, you know, that's not something that's readily talked about. And I think that one of the interesting components of what you just described is that we do this in other places in the body too. You don't just want heme floating around in like your bloodstream, you know, on like attached to anything. And, you know, it's like a whole thing. Like I feel like we approach the skin differently for some reason, you know, as a society than we approach other organs. And it just blows my mind.
We're getting there. We're realizing it, you know.
We're realizing it. Yeah. But that's really brilliant. I want to, on that same note, though, I want to learn about the keto amino acid complex. If you could explain that, Sherwin, just like, what is that? I know it's your proprietary technology, but if we could do a little intro into that.
That goes back to the idea of peptides, right? So people are learning a lot about peptides in skincare, and peptides are the building blocks for amino acids. So we combine numerous peptides, which are in our serum and in our moisturizer, and we combine them in different concentrations for the thickness and the viscosity of the particular formulations. And we called it the ketamino acid complex because it's just a really good, fun name because it includes amino acid in it. But conceptually, the idea is you need to have, or want to have, I should say, peptides to help improve collagen synthesis, because we do start to lose, I think, a quarter teaspoon of collagen a year in our skin after our late 20s. So it's see a little bit of, it's what people register as like a loss of volume or a loss of contour, because that sort of thing that we see as baby fat when we're kids or teenagers that starts to go away and give us a more kind of lovely sculpted look in our like 20s starts to then look a little bit not as awesome after that. So we are trying hard to maintain collagen, not only by eating well and by exercising and sleeping and hydrating, but also by using topical skincare that provides those benefits.
That is scary, like that fact, but like I'm glad.
I know I shouldn't have said it, but I feel like it's often coded and I wasn't the first person, so I don't feel terrible. It's all back to the dark thing. We know that we lose bone mass. We know that we lose muscle mass as decades go on. It's natural. It is what it is, which is why you're supposed to go to the gym and exercise better and, you know, have calcium for your bones, but whatever. The skin is very similar organ-wise, and we know that amino acids are building blocks of collagen and peptides are a long-chain amino acids. You can, by applying them topically, improve your skin tone and make yourself look and feel better.
Yeah. I love that. And I think that that's so solid. And I really think that it's just unique, you know, what you guys are doing. You're doing it in a fun way. And I think that's the most interesting part to me, you know, as a consumer and in this industry. I've seen a lot of brands that try to talk about science in a very, like, we need to explain science, right? To the newer generations, even though like, as like a millennial, like I love, like, you know, learning about things, and I love understanding why my skin is doing what it's doing now. But it's like, I think that there is such a need for what you guys have created, which is just a fun way to talk about really science-backed, you know, products and start that conversation. So I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of what you're doing. And for everyone listening, you guys have to check out the brand. What's that?
We're a huge fan of you.
Oh, thank you so much. No, I really am. And I think everyone should definitely check out the brand. If you're interested, go to apcanbeauty.com, and I will tag everything in the concept art for the episode. But if you have any questions at all for Sunder's team and Sherwin's team, please let us know. We'll definitely pass it along. Thank you so much. And you guys, this has been such an honor. Thank you for coming on the show.
Likewise. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.